What for you makes someone a great manager?
I think the biggest tip for being a great manager, it's a bit counterintuitive, is to never answer any questions.
What do you mean?
So, you know, if you've got a big team, you'll be getting questions all the time. People coming coming to you with their problems or what should I do in this situation? And I think the go-to, because, you know, because you're the manager and you know more than they do, the go-to is just to give them the answer. What I found, both in managers I've had and then also in managing teams myself, is that instead of jumping to the answer, which means they don't learn and they'll ask you the same question the next day and the next day and the next day, okay, if you take a step back and almost put the question back on them, say, right, well, what can we do? What are our options here? You know, give me two options, at least get them to think about what the answers could be, and then you can talk it through with them. And that way they develop. I think also the other, in terms of actual skills that you need as a manager, we've said it before, I think having a coaching style.
What is exactly a coaching style?
It's more about, you know, helping people come up with their own plan of action rather than telling them what to do. So I've used a coaching style with poor performers. So instead of telling someone off, it's actually having that conversation with them about, right, what are the errors that you're making? Or why do you keep making these mistakes? You know, what's happening before you make these mistakes? What are the triggers and what can we do about that? You know, so there have been a couple of people who have been, you know, really poor performers to the point where, you know, we've almost given up on them. Oh. And then I've helped them to take a bit of ownership over their own performance.
Yeah. Is a good manager is a good friend?
Very good question. It is possible to be a friend and a good manager, but you have to strike the balance right. I think especially for people pleasers out there like myself, you know, the natural thing you do is to try and be really pally with people, and actually that just as a policy doesn't tend to work too well, because at some point you've got to then switch over to being a manager. The key to it is almost having two hats on and having two roles, and you know, you can be out in the pub with the team and chat and laugh and whatever, but then when you're in the office or in meetings, you've got to be the boss. And definitely you can be both, but you shouldn't need to be. You shouldn't feel like you need to be. And you do need to separate the two in your own head. That's the only way to get around.
Hopefully in their heads.
Yeah, well, absolutely. That's the only way.
Yes. So you kind of touched this before, but what strategies do you use to motivate your team?
I think there are two main things that I've always done to motivate the team. One is that they absolutely need to feel like they've got career progression. If they don't feel like there's a next step up or a promotion anywhere on the horizon, you'll lose them. You'll lose their motivation, you'll lose their concentration, and you may lose them as employees. So what I've always said to my team is, when there's a promotion available, I'm not going to just give it to the person who wants it the most. I'm going to give it to the person who is already demonstrating the behaviours of the next level up.
Okay.
So if they are working, always thinking, planning and behaving as though they're already on the next level up, it means that they will get the job when it's available. Or, and I've been really honest with them, if there isn't a promotion available at the point when they're ready, then they have to go and find it somewhere else. And that's absolutely fine. But it means that you keep them for those 2 years, 3 years, behaving like they're already at the next level up. So you get the best out of them, they're developed, and probably within that time, the position will open up in your organisation. And if it isn't, then you've got the best out of them. And it might just be time for them to move on if there isn't a role for them. Absolutely. So that's the first one. They need to have a sense of direction. The second thing to motivate a team is that they need to have a singular vision. There needs to be a team vision. They need to know what they're working towards. It's a similar thing. They're not coming in every day just doing the job, you know, writing emails. They need to have something bigger that they're working towards.
Okay, good. And do you have any tips on how to run a team meeting or a one-on-one meeting in the best way?
Yeah, I think the first tip is to have them. I know it sounds really silly, but so many managers and business owners don't have one-to-one meetings with everyone on their team.
So the first tip is to actually have
just to have them.
One-on-one.
Yeah, I mean, you'd be surprised, and even in the corporate world, you'd be surprised how few managers have one-to-ones with their direct reports. So I think have them and really respect that time in the diary.
Okay.
You know, it's one thing organizing it, but then if every week or every fortnight, however often you have them, if you're the one then cancelling it or turning up late or moving it because another meeting came in, then you're teaching your team not to respect that time either. So I think
it's... And maybe that they're not such a priority. They're
move you around. Exactly. It just doesn't send a good message, especially if they've saved up things that they want to talk to you about. Actually, it's really important for them to have that time. So tip number one is definitely have the meetings. Number two, for one-on-ones or even for team meetings, I think put the onus on the team member to bring what they want to talk about. Put the onus on them to prepare something for that meeting. Mm-hmm. You know, it isn't for me. Yes, if I need to communicate things about the business or about the team, then I'll do that. But the meeting is for them and for their priorities, so they need to come prepared for it. And I would say, and the third thing, I mean, likewise for team meetings, people should be prepared. But team meetings, you know, if it's a Monday morning status meeting, you know, they can drag on. They can get really boring. And I think it's just a case of mixing it up, making sure everyone's being succinct and relevant and interesting, not just waffling on, not just reading off their to-do list. But mix it up, you know, change locations. I've had team meetings out in the park or in different meeting rooms or different spaces. I've even had different members of the team hosting the meeting each week. And they might theme it on something. They might bring a quiz and prizes, you know, just something to make it a bit more exciting than everyone reeling off their to-do list on a weekly basis.
Going back to the tip number two, they actually designed the meeting. They have the freedom to kind of design the content of the meeting.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah. I think it's two sides. First of all, they have to... they decide what we're going to talk about, but also they also need to be prepared. So if I'm asking them about the projects they're working on, they need to know the answers. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's not just them dictating; it's also them being prepared for the meeting.
Good. Talk to us about goal setting, KPIs, and accountability.
Big topic, I think, from a team management point of view. Again, my advice is to do it. You know, make sure you're having those regular catch-ups with your team, but then also, you know, regular performance reviews and setting objectives, setting those goals. Whether you do that once a year, people forget what they agreed to. But if you do it two or three times a year, actually all you're doing is planning for the next 3 months, 4 months. And, you know, that's within our mental capacity to deal with. I think something that's within the next 12 months, it just gets lost and people forget about it. And similarly, get the team to come up with, or the team member to come up with, their own objectives. So I always have things in mind and directions that I want to help develop someone in, but actually it's up to them, it's their career. If they're hungry for development, then their objectives are going to be very different for someone who isn't, and someone who's quite comfortable. I think if you're getting them to help devise their objectives, you've got to stretch them as well. So their objectives might be a bit too comfortable. So you've got to make sure that it's exciting and interesting. Yeah. You know, I always just check in at the end of the meeting. Are these, you know, is this exciting? Is this good enough? Does this get you out of bed in the morning?
So you check this with them.
Yeah. definitely. Because it can be so easy. You know, people come into those meetings and sometimes they tell you what they think you want to hear. Sometimes they say, oh, yes, I want a promotion. You know, they say things that aren't necessarily true about their own desires for it.
Yeah, I think they tell you what they think you want to hear and not necessarily what they are thinking, their point of view.
And I think you've got to be honest as well. I mean, once I've got a good relationship with the people I manage, I always ask them, if I get a sense that they're not telling me the truth, I say, look, what are your dreams beyond this? What's going to be your next job outside of ITV, as it was for me at the time? And then get them to work towards that. I was like, right, so what can you do in this job that's relevant to this team that gets you to that next job? And that means that they're still motivated. Mm-hmm. It might be motivated towards their next job, but actually they're still motivated in the current role, and they're bringing something relevant back to the team, but are developing themselves and are excited, even though they know this isn't their forever job.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's it is important, if you've got that right relationship, to just be really honest, because that way you keep people longer and they're motivated the whole time they're with you, rather than their motivation going down until absolutely. They hand in their resignation.
Oh, I love this one. What are your opinions on giving employees incentives for hitting their targets?
I think it's a really tricky one. I think incentives definitely work. You know, financial incentives definitely work. But I think you've got to get the balance right. So if you have everyone on an individual bonus, for example,
mm-hmm.
Then it can lead to people sabotaging each other and working mm-hmm. on a very insular basis. You know, it's people kind of trying to grab the money just for themselves, and I don't think it's
not what you want from a team.
No, right? It doesn't support a cohesive team. On the flip side, if you just have one bonus that covers a whole business, for example, then it can feel so intangible that people, they're not motivated. They don't think, right, I can actually change that in mm-hmm. any sense. So I think you actually need somewhere in between. I think you need a sort of sliding scale, depending on people's roles,
okay.
where there is either a team bonus or a company-wide bonus that everyone's working towards,
mm-hmm.
and they're really clear on
what they're going to get,
what those goals are, and how they can work towards it. But then also having something that's much smaller, whether that's individual, I'm not sure. I think maybe if you've got it on a small team basis,
mm-hmm.
But having a bonus that they really feel like on a day-to-day basis they can affect.
Mm-hmm. Are there any books or resources on management that you recommend?
Books for me that really have stood out. Drive by Daniel Pink is brilliant. Mm-hmm. So that's all about motivation and where motivation comes from. And it's got some really, really brilliant insights on how you can motivate not only yourself, but also others, and motivate your team. Start With Why is a book by Simon Sinek.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also done a brilliant and very short TED Talk that you can see, which is on exactly the same topic, Start With Why.
Maybe available on YouTube.
Definitely, TED. And it's and that's all about, you know, finding your why, finding the reasons behind doing something. And that ties in really well with motivating a team, you know, rather than them just coming in and doing the job, actually giving them a reason for doing it, you know, a bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some, you know, there are some older books that, you know, they've been around for decades, but are brilliant nonetheless. 1 Minute Manager has been around for ages, and it's a really quick read. And it's all, you know, as the title suggests, it is about having those difficult conversations. No one likes difficult conversations. So it's just about having them succinctly and moving on.
Mm-hmm.
And then also 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. So, you know, it's been a bestseller for years and years and years. But again, just a brilliant resource on personality, you know, the type of person you need to be to get the best out of your team.
Are there similarities between being a team leader and a coach?
Definitely. I think, you know, you've got a measure of the type of manager that I am, and it's not about storming ahead and doing it and doing the job and getting it done. It's about, I think, your single focus as a manager has to be on the team, getting your team to do the job well.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the same is true with us as a business coach. Yeah, we've got heaps and heaps and heaps of tools and information mm-hmm. and knowledge that we impart to our clients, but it's about us giving them the tools to do it. You know, it's their business. They're the ones who've got to make it actually happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly the same as a manager. I think in almost any industry, as a manager, you will be able to do the job better than your team. That's why you're the boss. So you've got to get out of the mindset of, oh, well, look, I can do it right. I can do it better. I can do it the best. Of course you can.
But it's not about you.
It's not about you. It's about, yeah. I'm not going to do the task anymore. My job, my only job, is getting the team to be confident and empowered and to do it as well as I want them to do it.
Good. So now the final question. Tell us why you decided to train as a coach
and join the team at London Business Coaching.
Oh, well, why wouldn't I? I came across coaching a few years ago, maybe four years ago, through training, through, you know, corporate management training. Mm-hmm. And it was just one element of the management training that we did. And just from that, those few training sessions that we did, I saw that it's really simple. You know, it's not necessarily easy, but it's a very simple process. And the effects are crazy. The effect, yeah. You know, for such a simple process, the outcomes are insane. And I just saw that instantly from the coaching that I had done.
Mm-hmm.
And then since then, I did some formal coaching training.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been able to coach people from ITV, lots of people sort of privately, you know, people from Facebook and HSBC and other people trying to figure out where their careers are going.
Uh-huh.
And I was just able to see the huge changes these people made in their lives. And it wasn't anything that I had done. It was just that I'd been able to facilitate their own thought processes and their motivation and them getting it done.
Mm-hmm.
And I absolutely love that. So, you know, why wouldn't I want to do that full time and see people change? And then obviously London Business Coaching has such a great reputation. You know, Parag's made a very, very good name for himself and for the whole team, both in the UK and internationally, mm-hmm. that it was a no-brainer.
Okay, cool. Then thank you very much.
Thank you very much.